Off the Ball.
In association with Air. Don't miss live and exclusive Premier League action this month on the Air Sport Pack.
This is News Talk.
You're very welcome back to Thursday's Off the Ball. As always, on this time of Thursday, we're joined on the line by John Giles. Evening, John.
Hello.
So, John, it was an interesting week for the English teams in Europe. We might talk Manchester United first before we come to Chelsea-Barcelona. So, a 0-0 draw for United in Sevilla last night. Was this one of those Jose Mourinho masterclasses away from home in Europe that we've become used to over the last 15 years?
I wouldn't be too sure about that, Nathan. I thought Sevilla were good. I thought they looked a better team. They looked better balanced. I don't think it's over by a long way. It's a good result for United on paper, but they weren't impressive. I thought Sevilla were a better team on the night than Manchester United. So they've a bit to do yet, Manchester United, although on paper it looks like a good result.
Mm. After some of the brilliant attacking football we saw from City, Spurs, Liverpool last weekend, it seemed quite dour in comparison last night. And when you look at, well, I guess the history of Manchester United, the money that they've spent recently, is there a responsibility on Mourinho as manager of Manchester United to play a more attacking brand of football than they're currently playing?
Well, I don't think it's as negative as it's made out to be. I don't think they played well last night at all, Nathan. I don't think they set out to play the way they did. It's just that Seville played well.
Right.
But I think the door negative label that Mourinho has is not quite fair. Now, I most people listen, I don't like Mourinho, but I think he's a very, very good football man. And I think the idea that he's purely a defensive coach is a bit unfair to him.
Is it just then that he hasn't been able to find a system that gets the very best out of all those flair players, the attacking players that he has?
Yeah, obviously there's a lack of balance in it, Nathan. You know, he's got a lot of good forward players, he's got some good defenders, but they're sadly lacking in midfield, in the creative force in midfield. There's no doubt about that. You have to go back to Pogba in that situation that, you know, in the last few weeks, as we've seen, he's left him out twice, he's subbed him a couple of times. So I think the idea of Pogba being the complete midfield player is no longer there in Mourinho's mind. And it's a big, big problem for him, because unless you have somebody playing in the middle of the field, he can't play in the middle of the field, particularly in the middle of midfield, then it's very, very difficult to play well. And I think the fact is that Pogba is not the complete midfield player, and he's certainly not a central midfield general type of player in the Modric, De Bruyne now in that situation, or indeed Kante at Chelsea, Nathan.
So if Pogba's not that complete central midfield player, and maybe Mourinho is now coming around to that idea as well, what sort of role can he have in this United team?
Well, I think he has to have a role similar to the one he had when he apparently did very well at Juventus, where he played on the left side of midfield, where you don't have the responsibility to dictate the game. And he had Pirlo playing for him, who was a great midfield player, who did that type of work to bring him into the game. And he needs to be brought into the game rather than dictating the play, Nathan. So in the Manchester United, I think if they had the right player in midfield, a Modric or a Pirlo, then he could play on the right-hand side of midfield, where he could use the abilities that he has without having the responsibility. And in other words, he needs somebody to get the ball to him rather than him having the responsibility to get the ball to other people. He's not able to read the game, Nathan. He's not able to take up the positions that's needed. He doesn't have the knowledge to do it. So he needs somebody to get it to him. At the moment, I think that's why Manchester United are a bit more than a bit lopsided. They don't have anybody dictating the play in the middle of the field.
They don't have that player then? They don't have that Pirlo type who can actually almost set Pogba free?
Yes, exactly. If Pogba's playing on the right, say, in Manchester United, well, the likes of Pirlo or Modric would bring him into the game. He needs somebody to bring him into the game. At the moment, he has a responsibility, which Mourinho created, of being the player that was to bring other people into the game. He's not able to do that. Nathan. In my opinion, he's not able to do that, and he's lost trying to do it. So whatever you're going to get from him, as somebody who is at the end of the creative force in the middle of the field, is not there. And that's why Manchester United are lopsided. They're quite good up front. They're reasonable at the back. But in the middle of the field, they're very, very disjointed. You know, you have Matic on the left-hand side, who's good, but he's on the left-hand side. Herrera is not good enough. Mata is not good enough to do it in the middle field. And Carrick has come into the team. You know, Carrick has never been able to do it. So they definitely miss that force in the middle field to knit all the good players, all the good elements of the team together. And Pogba has had the responsibility since he joined the club, because Mourinho said he was the complete midfield player, to do that. And the fact is, he's not capable of doing it.
It's hard to read a huge amount maybe into Mourinho's comments at times, considering it does feel as though there's a real political game going on between the two at the moment. But he was asked about Pogba after the match. Well, before the match, he was basically asked about whether he was actually ill or not at the weekend, and seemed to cast some doubt on that. And then when he was brought on after 17, 18 minutes in place of Herrera, Mourinho said after the game, Paul replaced Herrera and tried to give the game the same qualities. But is what you're saying, like asking Pogba to do Herrera's job, it's sort of like asking a painter to fix the engine in your car?
Well, it is. But, you know, Herrera's no great shakes either, Nathan. I'd be talking about Pirlo and De Bruyne and Modric in that particular role. Herrera's not able to do it either. But Manchester United just don't have anybody. But they don't have him. Like, Carrick would be their best bet, but he's never been great at doing it either. So they're sadly lacking in that particular position. And what's happened now, I think, in Mourinho, I think Mourinho has been a great manager. I'm not so sure in the Pogba situation, actually, he's handled it very well, because he's left him out, he's dropped him, he's subbed him. And I think the great thing that Pogba has going for him is his self-confidence. And I think what Mourinho has been doing, and maybe saying to him in recent times, has really not helped the situation, because if Pogba loses confidence in himself, he's nothing. Because the great thing he has is this great confidence. Now, his ability doesn't match his self-confidence, but that's his way of doing it. He's cocky, he goes out and he's a showman and does all that. But to ask him to do a really, really responsible job in the middle of the field, and I think Mourinho has come to the conclusion that he's not going to be able to do it, and I think he's told Pogba that. And so Pogba, I think, is really, really down because the manager has lost confidence in doing what he thought he could do.
Is that a pretty dangerous game to play? Even last night, from Paul Pogba's point of view, sitting on the bench for what's United's first knockout game in the Champions League for 4 years. So, like, this is a massive game for United as a club.
Yeah.
And he picks Scott McTominay, a 19-year-old, ahead of him.
Yeah, oh, definitely. That's right. Don't forget, a couple of weeks ago in the big match against Spurs, he subbed him. That was a bit of a shock. Newcastle, he left him out. Huddersfield, he left him out. Left him out again last night, and he was supposed to be ill at the weekend. There's something going on there. I think Pogba has been devastated by the actions of his manager. And this is a lad who I think thrives on confidence, and the manager saying, well, I'm sorry, but I don't have the confidence in you to do this particular job. Now, I think it's a bit unfair on Pogba, because I don't think Pogba was ever able to do the job that Mourinho said he could do or expected him to do. So that's where this big problem is. He's got a big, big problem there, Mourinho. There's no doubt about that, Nathan.
Further up the field then, and with all the attacking talent they have, and at times different players have come to the fore, you think particularly Jesse Lingard, who had a couple of months where it really looked he'd stepped up, and maybe he's fallen back a little bit again. Whether it's Martial, Rashford, Mata, Sanchez, Lingard, Lukaku, do you think that Mourinho knows what his best front three, front four is?
I'd say he does, but you see, with the way the game is played, Nathan, is that all those players, whether it be Sanchez and Lukaku and all these good players that you mentioned, they have to depend on somebody getting the ball into them in their positions. And if you don't have a midfield player or a midfield situation that's creating those particular positions, then they're not at their best. I mean, the team is a team, and I go back to Modric particularly, and Pirlo when he was playing, and De Bruyne now, that they're the ones that link everything up, and they're the only ones who can go into positions that nobody else can go into. Like Sanchez, for example, can more or less have to stay in his position, and then he's dependent on the midfield players and the other players to get the ball to him where he does his stuff. Now, if you don't have a midfield player or a midfield doing that job, then the likes of Sanchez and Lukaku don't get the ball in positions where they're really there to do their stuff. It's unbalanced. I know, but I don't know if I'm explaining that very well.
Yeah,
Nathan,
so when you think back to, say, Mourinho's first Chelsea side and a brilliant attack of Duff, Robin, Drogba, like, that doesn't happen unless you've got Lampard, Makelele.
Exactly. A central midfield player is the only player in the team that can go left or right to receive the ball and do his stuff. Like, if you're a left, like Matic is a left-sided midfield player, so he stays in that position. Where the central player like Modric, you remember Modric, anybody remember him playing, picks it up off the right back, he picks it up the left back. So it links the back to front. You have to have somebody to link it up. And that's what the midfield players are for, and the real top-class midfield. De Bruyne is doing it with Manchester City at the moment. Modric is still doing it with Madrid. So they link it up from back to front. If you don't have anybody linking it up, then the back four have to knock it long, and the likes of Sanchez are receiving balls that are no good to them. So you link everything up from the middle of the field. And Manchester United don't have anybody to do that. Herrera can't do it. Carrick could never do it. Matic can't do it. So they've a lot of good players, but they don't have that element that Pogba was. That was the role that he was supposed to fill, and he's not capable of doing it. And that's been proven, and it's been proved in Mourinho's mind in the last few weeks where he subbed him and left him out of the team. I mean, if he was a Modric or a De Bruyne, you couldn't see him being left out of the team, Nathan.
Mm.
But he's been left out of the team. So Mourinho's come to the conclusion, this fella's not going to do it, and he hasn't been doing it for me in the position that's vital to make the complete team. But they've nobody else to do it either.
It doesn't sound as though that's an easy fix then for Mourinho, if he is thinking more than 6, 12, 18 months down the line and how he can get Manchester United back to being European champions or back to being Premier League winners, to find that player, because Modric is 32, and regardless of that, there's no guarantee Real Madrid would sell. There's no way City are going to sell De Bruyne. It doesn't sound as though you've got a long list of players who can easily fill that type of role.
No, there's not many of them around, Nathan.
Can you make them? Can you get a player and mould them into that type?
I don't think so. I mean, they have to have it in them to be able to do it. I mean, there are one or two players around who can do it in a fashion, but it wouldn't be a Modric. I think that, you know, the lad Romeo at Southampton, for example.
Mm.
Now, he's not one of the best players in the world, but he's good at linking things up. And he might well be the best that he could have at Manchester United. If you can't get a Modric, you need somebody to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He wouldn't be a world-class player, but what I've seen him playing for Southampton, actually, funny enough, Mourinho had him at Chelsea years ago and let him go. But any time I see him playing for Southampton, who are not a very, very good team, but he is capable of a little pass here, a little pass there, just to get it from back to front in a nice, constructive way. And he can do that, but there's not many around who can actually do it in the Modric class, let's put it that way, Nathan. So that's why it's a big problem for Manchester United, because don't forget, the start of the season or 2 years or when they bought Pogba first, there's no doubt Mourinho was saying this is the complete midfield player. Now he was either making that up at the time to justify the fee, or he really believed it.
Mm.
And I think he's come to the conclusion now that no, he's not and he's not doing the job for me. So he's left him out of the team, and this is devastating for Pogba. Because I think his mind is that, you know, he's a great player, and the manager's lost confidence in him. I think he'd be a useful asset to Manchester United if he was given a position where he didn't have the responsibility to do that, either on the left side of midfield or the right-hand side of midfield. But a bit to go for that, Nathan, for that to happen. But at the moment, it's a big problem for Manchester United because they don't have that midfield general that's needed to knit it all together.
Yeah, and I guess as well, when you spend so much money on a player who you think is going to be that player, you probably take your eye off the ball and aren't looking at one, are looking at anybody else, considering they probably expected Pogba to be that guy for the next 4 or 5 seasons.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that it's not happening. So that's what I mean. If Pogba was doing the stuff that Mourinho expected him to do, there wouldn't be a problem because Manchester United would be playing a lot better. But the fact is, they're not playing that well, and Pogba's not playing that well. Pogba's no positional sense, Nathan. You know, positional sense in the football field is called reading the game. There's lots of sayings that to do with reading the game. In other words, you're in a position to receive the ball in relation to where the ball is. You know, and I saw on the television doing it, and I said, where he was poor defensively. And one of the reasons he's poor defensively, Pogba, because when they say his own fullback is on the ball, most of the time he's too far ahead of the ball. He should be back receiving the ball and playing it from there. So if and when the fullback loses it, he is out of position, Nathan.
Mm.
You know? Now, I don't know whether I'm explaining that very well.
Well, I think did we see that against Tottenham a few weeks ago?
Yeah. He's done it right. Actually, the people, the Lampard and thing were doing it last night. I mean, it's taken them a while to get to the point, but they were showing matches that Pogba played where he wasn't in a good defensive position only because he was in a bad position in the first place when his team had the ball. They couldn't find him. He should have been back in 10 yards from the ball like Modric does, picks it up, knits it together. But what he does is he's in oppositional sense, so he gets ahead of the ball. So if and when the fullback loses it, he's way out of position anyway.
Yeah.
He shouldn't be there in the first place.
Great stuff, John. We will take a very quick break. 53106 is the text number. We're going to talk Chelsea right after this.
Off the ball. This is News Talk.
You're very welcome back to Thursday's Off the Ball. John Giles is still with us. So we might look at Chelsea, John. A 1-1 draw against the Barcelona team that haven't lost a game all season in the league or in Europe. On paper, it seems a good result, but a lot of the analysis afterwards seemed to suggest that maybe Chelsea had missed an opportunity to go and be more ambitious at home and really take the game to Barcelona. How did you see it?
Well, I thought they did. I mean, it's very hard to take the game to Barcelona because they have such much of the ball themselves, Nathan, you know. It's very hard to get the ball from them. But I thought Chelsea did well. They had the best chances. We saw William hit the post twice and definitely had the better chances in the game. I thought Chelsea deserved to win it. You know, of course, Messi came back near the end of the game with him and Iniesta to get the equalising goal. But I thought Chelsea played really well, and I think they've got a chance in the second leg of it, Nathan. I don't think they went out to defend it. When you're playing against Barcelona, you've got so many good players that you have to defend. It's very difficult to get the ball from them. Mm. But when they had a chance to attack, they definitely had to go at them. And I thought they were a bit unlucky not to win the game.
The decision to play Hazard down the middle and leave Giroud and Morata out of the side, what's the game by playing him there as opposed to playing him out in the left where we're used to seeing him?
Well, I think he's more effective playing in a deeper position, but it's a difficult situation for Conte because you don't know whether Giroud is going to do it. Morata hasn't done it so far. So if you put Giroud or Morata in the team, then you have to leave out one of the midfield players who have been doing it. So I think what he's doing is sacrificing Hazard's contribution from a deeper role to make up for the lack of good play from Giroud or Morata in the team. It's a very delicate situation, and it's a very difficult one for him, Nathan. There's no doubt about that, because Hazard is definitely not as effective as he is coming deeper. But there again, Morata and Giroud haven't been effective. I know Morata's had injuries, but it's a very delicate situation for him, and he's trying to get the best of what he has at his disposal with the midfield players. You saw Willian the other night was excellent. He could have had a hat-trick, you know, with Fabregas and this stuff. Kante is terrific, as we know. I mean, it's amazing when you look back on it. If Manchester United had bought Kante instead of Pogba, Chelsea wouldn't be as good as they are, and Manchester United would be a lot better than they are at the moment. So that's why it's going to be fascinating for the weekend's match, Nathan. But, we're talking about the other night. I thought Chelsea did well, and I thought they shaded the game. I think they're still in with a good chance in the second leg.
It seems as though the storm around Conte has calmed a little bit and he'll probably get to see out the season now. Did the game earlier in the week, did that show that the discipline, the players, the midfield players, Hazard, Fabregas, showed that the players are still behind him and buying into what he wants them to do?
I think so. I think he's been very, very unfairly treated, Conte, I saw the paper a couple of weeks ago. I think there seemed to be some sort of a conspiracy against them from the club. I mean, they were saying things in two of the leading Sun and the Mail, particularly about the very negative stuff about Conte, which I thought was very unfair. And it looked a bit odd that the two papers had the same story, that the players were against them, they didn't like the training, they were bored with the training. I mean, this is a fella who won the league in brilliant fashion last year, Nathan. And it was like, oh, he's doing this wrong, he's lost the players. Well, actually, when they played the other night, if he'd lost the players, they wouldn't have been able to play the way they played. They had a couple of bad results, there's no doubt, a couple of weeks ago, which all teams can have at certain times. But if you look at them playing the other night, you know, playing against one of the best teams in the world, and they did their stuff for Conte. I think Conte has been very, very unfairly treated. And I think there's been a lot of stories coming out of from higher up about Conte, definitely.
Just on Eden Hazard, he's 27 now, and to be honest, I was a bit surprised to see he was already 27. He's six seasons at Chelsea, and he's a player who seems to be constantly tipped as one of the most likely to get to the sort of level Messi and Ronaldo have been to over the last few years. Is he anywhere near that level?
He wouldn't be as good. I think he would be maybe 65 to 70% there, Nathan. He's an outstanding player, there's no doubt about that. Because he can, you know, he can dribble. See, there's very few players you look at now who can actually dribble and beat players, and he can do that. But he hasn't played with the consistency that you would have from Messi and the goal scorer new Ronaldo in recent times. I think he's a very, very good player, and he'd certainly be one of the leading players in the Premiership. And he wouldn't be out of place, I think, in Real Madrid or Barcelona, for that matter. But he wouldn't. There's nobody like Messi, in my opinion. Messi the other night, Nathan, he's one of the few players I've seen that when he receives the ball, he uses it exactly the way it should be used in the given situation. In other words, sometimes it's only a 15-yard pass. He always picks out the right pass. In other words, the most constructive pass that's on at the particular time he receives it. And I thought he was great the other night.
We've almost become blasé about it. We've almost become blasé about just how brilliant Messi is.
Yeah, we're used to it, you know, and he's a great team player. He plays, scored a goal the other night, a vital goal at the right time, took it brilliantly. It wasn't spectacular the other night, but any time you receive him in a close situation, he does enough and plays the right ball. If it's a 10-yard ball that's on, he plays it. If it's a 40-yard ball, he plays it. He's a genius, and I thought he was terrific the other night.
We're fortunate that we're in an era where we get to see him almost twice a week. Every game he plays in is televised, yeah. So we get to share the joy with him all the time.
Yeah, he's brilliant. He's brilliant.
Is he as good as you've ever seen? Is he as good as you've ever seen?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he'd be up with all the great players. Again, you know, people say, who's the greatest player ever? It's difficult. All the great players are great players in their particular era. I think if he played 20 or 30 years ago, he'd be great. You know, if Di Stefano and Puskas and all these guys, all the younger listeners wouldn't even know about, were playing now, they'd be great as well. The great players are the great players, and they can only do what they do in their own particular time. And Messi's certainly done it. He's done it for years now, and he continues to do it, which is great.
Did all those players share that similar characteristic that you're talking about Messi from the last night of playing the right ball all the time? Sometimes that may be the simple ball, it may be the little five-yard ball back to the midfielder, or maybe the more complicated thing.
No. The great players never complicated. They make it look easy because they have the ability, they have the vision to pick out the right ball, not to be trying balls that are not on. All the various things that make what Messi is today. I mean, like when one of his you know, the fellow players over the years were great players, did the same thing, Nathan, you know? They just made it look easy, did the right things, did it for the team, and continued to do it all the time in a genuine way.
John, great stuff as always. Thanks a lot for taking the call.
Thanks, Nathan.
John Giles with us every Thursday evening here on Off the Ball at 7:30. We're going to take a very quick break. We'll bring you up to date then with all the latest in the golf and in the Europa League as well. And a very special Thursday night rugby. We're going to be looking at the Ireland team that will take on Wales with Stephen Ferris and Rory O'Connor.
Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.